and cases, it is fantastic how it just absolutely makes the Bible so definite that you cannot go wrong. Well, you can't go wrong if you're honest with yourself. If you want to believe something and go on and believe it, then you just better leave the original language alone, because it's going to really bother you, because it'll try to guide you in the right direction. How many cases are there in Greek? How many?
Eight.
Can anybody name them?
Locative.
Okay. It's nominative. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. And basically, you have the same thing in Hebrew. It's there. It's there by inflection. Usually with a preposition, it tells you what case it's in. Same thing in Greek. We'll see that. The tenses, there are how many stem roots in Hebrew?
A bunch.
Seven.
Okay.
Seven stem roots. And then, basically, there are two tenses that we deal with combinations of them. What are the tenses in Hebrew? Pam?
Perfect and
imperfect. Perfect means what? Completed action. Imperfect means something that is in progress. Okay? You get catching this arrow? Okay. And we'll go into those a little bit. We'll look at it. Every name in Hebrew means something. Every name means something. 18:4. Wisham. Ha Ashad. Eliezer. Ki. Elohi. Avi. Be'ezri. Wayatsi Lenu. Macharev, Pero. N name, Wisham, Wisham. What is the N there? What's the conjunction there?
The what?
The what?
In Hebrew,
on the front of a name is a waw, a lot of times, in front of a word. And that means and. And. So it's inflected. An inflected language means that many times a person, okay, and we have persons, singular and plural, okay. First person,
I.
Second person, you. Third person, he or she. In Hebrew. In Greek, what else does it tell you?
It.
Okay, neuter. All right, first person plural.
We.
You all.
You.
That's Oklahoma, you know. And then the third?
They.
Okay. And infinitive, what is that? Infinitive. That's to be. All right. To be good, to be bad, to be whatever. To go, to run, to jump, to see, whatever, to speak. Who? In Greek, how do you pronounce the the present indicative active? What is the conjugation of that? Present indicative active. O, ace, a, omenet, u, c, a. And see that infinitive is there. See. Now, in Greek, it's the same way, but it's inflected. We'll look at that. All right. Wisham. Wisham. What does sham mean?
Name, monument.
Name, monument, pillar. One of Noah's sons was named Shem. Okay? His name was Shem. And through him would the Word of God and person of God be revealed through Shem. And the Shemites. Now, we talk about Abraham being the father of the faithful and the father of basically of salvation that brought to mankind. But if you check your DNA, you will probably find that you'll go back to Abraham, no matter what color you are. Why? Why?
Because he had three wives.
He had three wives. A dark wife, Hagar. What does Hagar mean? Yeah, a wanderer or pilgrim. Okay. And then he had Sarah. Sarah. And Sarah means what, Sarah?
Well, you said it means
to wrestle and to war. See, it really means princess, but how do you get to be a princess or prince? You fight for that position. And so that sari means to fight, all right, to fight for that position. So he had Hagar, and he had Sarah, and he had Keturah. Keturah. And Keturah was a Japhethite. Sarah was a Shemite. Keturah was a Japhethite. And many people believe that Alexander the Great was a descendant of Keturah and Abraham. And, of course, he was very important in history, wasn't he? Because through Alexander the Great, we have the Greek New Testament. That's how it came about. All right? Because of his ability to conquer all of the known world in basically 14 years is when it happened. And the Koine Greek was the universal language of all people. And the name, the one, Ahad, Eliezer. Eliezer means what? Eliezer means what? One who God helps, or whom God helps. What does Lazarus mean? Lazarus, that's a shortened form of Eliezer.
Helpless.
Lazarus means helpless. Okay? And then key, because Elohi. Elohi? Elohi is Elohim. Alright? The God, and it's in the possessive, so what case is that in, Brother Roger? Nominative, genitive. Genitive case. Genitive is the case of possession. Nominative is the case of the subject. There's the person we've been waiting for. There is the supreme chef. Elohi. And then Avi. 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 My father. Father belonging to me in the genitive case again. Now what does Avi mean? Avi. Let's break it down. Avi. It comes from what two Hebrew letters? Ali. All right, which means what?
Head.
All right. The Hebrew letter Aleph actually in ancient Hebrew had the symbol of an ox's head. And it meant head. Like that. If you go way, way back, I've seen some of that writing when I was in the Middle East. And then it comes from another Hebrew word, which is Beth. And Beth means what? House. House. So this is father or head of the house. Head of the house or father of the house. Head of the house, that's what father means. And back in those days, definitely the father was the head of the house. Women had no rights at all, period. They were bought and sold. That's the way it was in those times. One Eliezer, because God of my fathers. And be Ezri, look at that, be Ezri, in my help. See, here we have Eliezer, the root of it again there, in my help. And he snatched me, or delivered me, from the sword of Pharaoh. He snatched or delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And there's a word in Greek, ruomai. And what word do we get from that word in Latin? Ruomai in Greek. What word comes from that word in Latin that we are familiar with today? Rapere. Rapere. All right. Rapere. What does that mean? That's a raptor. A raptor. And what is a raptor? A bird that is a raptor. What does it do?
It seizes its prey with its claws.
It seizes its prey with its claws. So we have the word. My pencil's not writing. It still refuses to write. I give up.
That's all good.
We have the word ruomai. Okay, and that starts with a rough breather. Okay. Rule oh my, and then we have the word raparee from that. And the English word raptor is from that. And what else in the Bible? What theory, actually it's more of a fact than a theory, what theory comes from the word raparee and ruomai and rapazo? What?
The rapture.
The rapture. The snatching away of God's people right here. The snatching away. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 comes from that. And this is the Hebrew equivalent of that. He delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And there's many things in the Old Testament. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be this coming of the Son of Man. Okay? The second coming of the Son of Man, as in the days of Noah. And what was happening in the days of Noah? For how long did God say that He was going to bring judgment on the ancient civilization on the other side of the flood? For how many years?
Close to 1,000 years.
Close to 1,000 years. Explain that. There was a child named
Methuselah.
And how old did he get? 969 years. Ever since Methuselah was named. And who named him? Enoch. What does Enoch mean? Teacher. Enoch, how long did Enoch preach? Now, when he had that child, we don't know how long, because we don't really know, except from the book of Jasher, will probably tell us how old he was. Jasher is a history book from the book time of Exodus and Genesis. How long did Enoch preach? 300 years. There's a book of Enoch, and you can read that. It's on the website there. You can read the whole thing. It's a scary book. It talks about judgment. It talks about the second coming. It talks about the fallen angels that have plotted against God and God's creation. It talks about all of that. It talks about the heavens and lays them out in such a dramatic way that only somebody inspired of God could have done that, written it down on paper like that, because they didn't have telescopes back then, you know, that we know about. Snatch me away from the sword of Pharaoh. This is a type of the rapture also. And Paul uses that in many places. Snatch me away from the sword of Pharaoh. The word sword there, on page 274 in Davidson's Greek, analytical Greek, or not Greek, but Hebrew. Now, I constantly refer to page numbers. And the page numbers basically go out to this wore out book. It's falling apart. That's Brown, Driver, and Briggs. If you go on the Brown, Driver, and Briggs, I think you can look it up on the internet even. You can go in here and look at the roots. An analytical Hebrew lexicon will give you all of the whole. It will decline or it will conjugate every verb. And the same thing. So we refer back to that. R. Kohler and Baumgartner, which is a big two-volume set. And, of course, I just referred to Davidson at this point right here. The word sword means to lay waste, to chop up. And it's usually a double-edged sword, one that cuts from both sides, Jesus uses in the book of Revelation. 18 and verse 5. 18:5. Wayavol. Yithro. Hatan. Moshe. Yuvanah. We ishto El Moshe El Hamidbar Asher Hu Chone Sham Har Ha Elohim. Now, as you see these things and you hear the Hebrew pronounced, it'll just kind of become second nature after you read about 100 verses. You'll begin to go down and look at the Hebrew. Brother Roger, you're doing pretty good at that now, aren't you? Brother Abe, how are you doing with your Hebrew?
Just
D-level student. A D-level, huh? Well, Wayavol. Here we have a conjunction, and we have a verb. And that verb, and it says here, it's translated, and he came. And what else? He came and What kind of action is that, Brother Roger?
He continued to come.
All right. Third person, masculine, singular, so it is he. It's masculine here. Okay? And then we have cal stem, which is what? Basically the active voice. The action is active. And then we have while consecutive and perfect. That's that WCI there. Okay? Now, these really sound foreign to you right now, but you'll get the action. Okay? And that's on page 97 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 112 on Kohler and Baumgartner. And the conjunction is on page 253 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And then we come to the word Yithro. 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 This man had a lot of names, didn't he? In the Bible. Now, he was a Kohen. Kohen. What does the word Kohen mean?
Priest.
What?
Priest.
Priest or king. High priest or king. That's what Kohen means. And he was a king of Midian, or a priest of Midian. We find out from the book of Jasher, which is a history book at that period of time, what else was he? He was a very important man in that part of the world, wasn't he? He was counselor to who?
Pharaoh
himself. He was a counselor to Pharaoh. Matter of fact, he protected Moses when he was a baby, according to the book of Jasher. Jethro means what?
Provisional abundance.
Abundance. It means it has the idea of king and ruler, preeminence, high, hierarchy, all in that name. What are the other names of Jethro?
Ruel.
Ru. Ru means what? To see, or also friend, to watch after, or to, it means friend. Ruel means what?
Friend of God.
Friend of God. Okay, how about Jeter? That's another name. All right, which is another name for Jethro. Okay, which means high exalted one, king, preeminence, provisionary, whatever. And then we have the word. There's no word for father-in-law, so it's here. It's wife's father. Wife's father. Hatem. Wife's father. And then Moshe. 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 What does Moshe mean, Brother Abe? Moshe. To draw out or to rescue. Moses means to draw out or to rescue. And that's on page 602. I'm after you two next year. You're next. We're getting everybody involved here. Yuvanal. 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 And literally it says, and sons of him. And what is the root of this word? It's on page 120. What is the root? Ben. What does Ben mean?
According to a pattern.
When you have children, they look like you. They come out according to a pattern. Okay? According to a pattern. Benoth, that means daughter. And here, Yuvanah, that means, and his sons are sons of him. And what case is that in? The sons of him.
Genitive.
The genitive. The case of possession. Okay? And his wife, Weishto. All right? Weishto. Weishto. We on the front of that is what? Conjunction. And. All right. Ish. Woman. All right. Isha. Ish is man. Isha is woman, which means out of man. And here we have Ishto and his wife. All right. Or his woman, literally. Unto Moses. El there. That little... This is a very much used, you'll see this word used a lot in Hebrew, El. It can mean an adverb of negation, which means what?
No.
No. Not. Not. No, we're not. Okay. And it also can be a preposition, means unto. All right. And it also can mean what else?
God.
God. God. Powerful one. Okay. All of that is from that little old word El. And here it's a preposition, page 39. And then we have a definite article here. What is that definite article?
Hey.
That is the definite article. How many definite articles are there in Greek? There's only one in Hebrew. How many are there in Greek?
Three.
there are three genders. But three genders in all eight cases, singular and plural.
And masculine, feminine, neuter. That's a lot. And in Greek, you know, if you took out a definite article in Greek, you know exactly what part it played in that sentence. All right, now let's look at it this way. In Hebrew, it's simple.
Ha.
The. Period.
In Greek?
That's masculine, I know that.
This is what?
Nominative singular masculine.
Nominative singular masculine. Boy, very good. Okay. What's this one?
Nominative singular feminine.
All right.
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Nominative, singular, neuter. Now, there's all kinds of combinations of this in all eight cases in Greek. Very definite language. The most definite language that's ever been built in the world. And it was built by the instruction of God, I believe. So the New Testament could be not riddled by theologians. But you have to read it as it says.
Okay? They should work hard at it.
Huh?
They should work hard at it.
Oh, they sure work hard at it. But, you know, most of them these days just skirt around Greek and Hebrew because it will bother the theology. It really messes up your theology if you've got a preconceived theology. Greek and Hebrew made my theology, as you know. Ho, nominative singular masculine. This is very beautiful. John 1 and 1. Who can quote that in Greek? NRK, ain ho logos. Kai ho logos. Ein proston theon. Kai ho logos ein theos.
All right. In beginning. And where does that correspond back to in the Old Testament? Many people go to the book of Genesis, but what is wrong with that idea? Bereshith, that's Genesis. Now, Bereshith. Bereshith means what? What does Bereshith mean? In beginnings. In beginnings. NRK means what? The beginning. One beginning. When nothing else existed, NRK, before anything was created, NRK, Ain, NRK, Ain means what? That's inflected too. Little old Greek verb. Third person singular? Third person singular? Masculine. All right. Third person singular. Masculine. NRK. Ain. Hologo. Third person singular. Masculine. Singular. Imperfect. Indicative. Active. And how you translate that was, in beginning, he kept on being whole logos, the word. And here we have, if you don't know Hebrew, you don't know, you cannot translate John 1 and 1. Why?
Because it's an idiom.
It is a Greek. I'm not a Greek, but it's a Hebraism. The word logos comes from this word in Hebrew. And what is that? Hadavar. This is the word, isn't it? But what does this represent in Hebrew when it comes to this name? Right there. That's the name of God. And the law of God says, you shall not use the Lord their God's name in vain. So they would not say his name, so they'd say, Ha the bar. So when John wrote John 1 and 1, it says, in beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. That's what it's talking about, the Jehovah. Because the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Because Jehovah kept on being God. John 1 and 14 is the fulfillment of the Jehovah titles, and it is what? Kai ho logos sarxagenito, and the Jehovah flesh he became for himself. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative, and what voice? What voice? Middle voice. Okay, middle voice. That's beautiful. You see this, it just starts laying things out. No Jehovah Witness can even hold a light to this. You go to them, and they got to run. Are they going to get saved one another? Because the person they say is Jehovah is God the Father. But Jehovah is God the Son. That's who it is. And what does Jehovah mean? What does Jehovah mean? He who shall become. Because it comes from the Hebrew verb right here. To become.
All right.
The one who shall become. 18 and verse 5. 18 and verse 5 before we are. Vayavo Yisro Hatem Moshe Yuvana Viishto El Moshe El Hamidbar Asher Hu Chonei Sham Har HaElohim. And he came and kept on coming, Jethro, wife's father of Moses, and his sons, and his wife, unto Moses, and unto the, look at this, El Hamidbar. Look at that word, that you see that little doggish in the middle of that man there? What does that do with that man, Brother Roger?
Makes it come strong or doubled.
Doubles it, right here. It doubles. It's either a doggish lane here or a doggish 40. All right. Hamidbar. Hamidbar. What does Midbar mean? Midbar.
Basically, wilderness or cow trail.
A cow trail. You have to have a cowboy to take you through the Hamidbar. Because it is a desolate area where if you don't know where water is and where food is and forage is, you're a dead man. Like Death Valley. Okay, that's what it means. Hamidbar. Unto the wilderness. Now, if Israel didn't have Jehovah on their side out there in the Hamidbar, it would have been a trackless cow trail, wouldn't it? And what would have happened to all of them? They would have died of starvation, disease, and everything. But what did God provide out there in the wilderness?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. All of it. Nothing he didn't provide. He provided water out of a rock. He provided manna. Manna. Manna.
Young lady, I'm going to pick on you tonight. You remember what that means?
Ma. Ma means what? What does ma mean?
What?
It means what? All right. Mana means what? What is it? What is it? All right. Mana means what is it? They didn't know what it was. But there was natural manna in the wilderness, wasn't there? Come from the tamarisk tree. But what did God do? He took something natural and magnified it way beyond what it could ever be naturally. And what did this mana look like? Huh? What did the? That's what they made it. Oh, what did it look like? It looked like coriander seed or cilantro seed. Okay, cilantro seed or coriander seed. And this seed, when they would crush it up, they had when they had these wafers or these pancakes. What they had every day was pancakes with honey on them. It tasted like pancakes with honey, like going to IHOP every day with having honey. That's what they had every day. That's exactly what it was like honey. Bread with honey. And, of course, all of this was a type of what? Of Christ. He was the type of the rock. He was the type of the water. He was the type of the manna, the true bread that came down out of heaven. And when you say the word bread there, lahem, what does that mean? Food. All right. Unto the wilderness, where? Asher. And that is a particle of relation or relative particle. That Asher is. And then you, that's a third person pronoun. See? He, she, or it. All right. He or she in Hebrew. Okay. What would be the equivalent of this in Greek, Brother Roger? Let's put it in the lid cases, locative instrument or dative. Auto. That's what it is. Auto. Third person singular. Now, this is wonderful because in Hebrew, it's all spelled the same. In Greek, you have eight cases, masculine, feminine, and neuter, singular and plural. Do you see how big Greek is? See, Hebrew is a little bitty language. And it's like shorthand compared to Greek. He, camping. Look at this word camping there, chone. That means to lay up, to rub out time. Masculine singular, cal participle. Laying up and rubbing out time there. And the har is mountain. The mountain of God, ha Elohim. Elohim. Look at that word again, Elohim. We have the word El, we have Elohim. What is the full title of God, the Creator? Jehovah Elohim. Everybody has an Elohim. Do you know that? Muslims have an Elohim. Yeah, they do. Catholics have an Elohim. Even what we call the modern theistic evolutionists have an Elohim. Every person in the world, every tribe in the darkest corners of the world, they have an Elohim. Elohim means creator. Okay? But only God's people have a Jehovah Elohim. Because the word Jehovah there, that's the covenant God. That's the personal God. When you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have Jehovah Elohim. All right? So in the mountain of God, the mountain belonging to God, look at that Eim on the plural. What does that Eim on the plural mean?
Makes it plural.
That makes it plural. Okay. And then let's go to 18 and verse 6 now. 18 and verse 6. What is this first word? How do you say that, young lady? That first word.
Wayomer.
Wayomer. Boy, that's very good. You got an A+ for tonight. El Moshe. Ani. Chotenka. Yethro. Ba. Elika. Weishtika. Yushane. Vaniha. Yema. And he said unto Moses, who's this? Jethro. All right, how many names did Jethro have? Four names that we know of in the Bible. How many names did Moses have? Gobs. That's all I can say. He had lots of names. I think 10 names. Moses had 10 names. Okay? 10 names. We won't go back into all of them right now, but he had a lot of names according to the book of Jasher. And he said unto Moses, I, ani, I. That's a first person pronoun, I. What would be it in Greek? What would it be in Greek? We get a term right out of English from that. Ego. What term in English do we have out of ego? Ego. Ego. The ego. All right? It means I. All right? And said, and look at that word, and said. And he said, third person, master, senior, cal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. What kind of action is that? What kind of action?
He spoke.
He has spoken at one time, and he kept on speaking. Okay? Wow, consecutive, imperfect means it's completed action, but it was continuous for a while. And he said and kept on saying unto Moses, I, wife's father, Jethro. Jethro means what? Here, exalted one, high one, his excellency. All right. Coming unto you, Elika. Look at that. El, here we have a preposition with a suffix to it. Unto you. Page 39 is where it begins, but here we have unto you, and that is masculine also. And your wife, and to, Weishene. What does shine, what does to mean? What does to mean in Hebrew? Literally. What?
Combined.
To divide.
Yeah.
To divide. All right? So it's more than one. It's divided. Vaniha. And her sons. All right? That comes from Ben. Ben means what? According to a pattern. With her. All right. With her. 18 and verse 7 now. We're about to run out of pages where I had before, see? Wayitzi, Moshe, Likrah, Ha, Thina, Wayishtachu, Why Yishak. Lo. Y-ish-a-lo. Y-ish-a-lo, that is. Ish. Lerihu. Leshalon. Y-yavu. Ha. Ha-li. I'll get it right. Ha. Hela. Good to say it. Ha hela. All right. And he went out and kept on going out, Moses, to meet, to encounter his wife's father. And he bowed down, third person master singer, Hishvael, well, consecutive and perfect. He bowed down and kept on bowing down, and he kissed and kept on kissing. And they bowed, and they borrowed, they asked. Look at this word. They borrowed, they asked. Look at that word. And they borrowed or they asked. Third person, masculine, plural, cal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Sha'ol. They borrowed or asked. Sha'ol. What does that mean, Sha'ol? What word do we have in the Bible from Sha'ol? It means to ask or to borrow. What word do we have in the Bible from Sha'ol? We have a name. What's the name from Sha'ol? Saul. We have a Saul in the New Testament. We have a Saul in the Old Testament. And they're related, by the way. Saul in the Old Testament. Saul in the New Testament. Saul means what? One asked for. Now, I want to tell you this, and it might shock you, but God had always planned for Israel to have a king. And the king that God was going to give Israel was whom? Who was he? Who was it going to be the king? Huh?
Saul?
No.
David.
David was going to be the king, period.
Did Saul already have his name before he asked Saul to be king?
Israel asked God to give them a king like all the other nations. God was going to give them a king, but they wanted to hurry it. They wanted to hurry it along. God was always going to give them a king because the prophecies would all be surrounding David. The Davidic kingdom, the seed of David, all this stuff. David was always going to be king. But David was young. But Israel was in a hurry and they wanted a king now. Give us a king like all the rest of the nations. God was going to give him a king. But he was still in training yet. He was out being a shepherd boy. Well, God gave him one called Saul, and he was a tall man. And he became quite a problem. In the beginning, he was a very humble man, wasn't he? Very humble. He was head and shoulders above everybody else, very tall, and he was very humble. But once he got in place there, then he became jealous. He became jealous, and he also started wanting to take things in his own hands instead of following things God's way, like Cain did in the garden. Cain means what? Cain. Genesis 4 and 1. Gotten. All right, now let's look at Genesis 4 and 1, because that's a very beautiful verse in Hebrew that is not brought in any English translations. All right? I forgot to bring my Hebrew Bible tonight. I had it. Just bring it. So I'll have to translate it from you, for you. Genesis 4 and 1, let's go there and look at that in your Bible, because this is quite astounding. Genesis 4 and 1 is a... they believed a fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. What does Genesis 3:15 say before we can understand what Genesis 4 and 1 said? Now, we found out in Genesis, the third chapter is a chapter of great disappointment. And we find out here that Adam and Eve are Adam and Ishah. Literally, her name was Ishah at this time. It wasn't Eve or Hava yet. Her name was Ishah, or mean woman. Adam. Adam means what? Adam. Huh? He means mankind, humankind, Adam. Adam. The root of it is Dam, which means blood. And we get the Ha-Adamah, which is the earth. Okay? And all of that is related. They had sinned. The woman took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she was gorging herself on it. She was eating it in what tense? in the imperfect tense. She says, kept on gorging, kept on gorging. And then it says she gave to her husband, and he kept on gorging himself on that fruit. Kept on eating, imperfect tense. This eating and eating and eating. They didn't touch it. They didn't just look at it. They didn't just take a bite of it. You know, you always see in the movie something, they took a bite. No, man, they ate the whole tree. they emptied that tree. I'm telling you, and that was God's tree. Now, God was going to give them knowledge. He was teaching them. But this tree was God's, and they were stealing. They became Arum. Say the Arum. That means evil. They became evil when they did that. They became evil. Now, God approaches mankind, first of all, because He is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. Remember? God. How many Edens were there? Two. And the first Eden, who was the master of the first Eden? Lucifer or Hillel. Okay? Which is Satan. But before Satan fell, he was the master of the material universe. Okay? And then Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 says that he fell and he walked in the Eden, which was the throne room of the universe at that time, the material universe. The first Eden was a throne room. Just read in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and see how beautiful it was. And that was Adam's throne room. Then he sinned, and not Adam, but Lucifer's throne room. Then he sinned, and he destroyed up. He tore up the playhouse, and he destroyed the earth, and she became formless and void. Genesis 1 and 2. Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim ve et haaretz. That's Genesis 1 and 1. In beginnings. In one of the eternities past, in one of the beginnings, God created, and what the word bara mean there? Third person, masculine singular, cal perfect. And in one of the beginnings, God had created the heavens. And then when He created the heavens, that means universe there. And then it says, we at hearts. After He created the whole universe, He took the earth and placed it in exactly the right place. And then it says in Genesis 1 and 2, we haaretz, hatiatuhu wavohu, we hoshukel panetohom. Alright? And then it says, and the earth, she had become formless and void. The throne room in that garden of Eden, or the garden in Eden, that was the throne room of Hillel or Lucifer, he had destroyed. And how much of the rest of the universe, we don't know. But he did a lot of destruction. You can look at the geographic, geological evidence to see how much he destroyed, how he destroyed the earth. All right, and then the God began to put the earth back together. And then God placed man in the second Eden that he had built. And Eden was Adam's throne room also. And God gave him a rod. What about that rod? On that rod would be the lineage of Adam. And that rod would be handed down to all of his children until it comes to Moshe. And Moses went into Egypt with that rod. And that's the rod that he performed, or Aaron performed all of the miracles with. What does Aaron mean? Enlightened one. What's the modern word for Aaron? We have the word name Aaron, but what is the name for modern? Frank or Francis? Okay. Well, Adam sinned here in the garden. And so the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of Jehovah Elohim among the trees of the garden. And Jehovah Elohim called to the man and said to him, where are you? Where are you? Did you think that God didn't know where he was? He wanted Adam to know where he was. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I became afraid. Now, all the time before, he walked with God, and God taught him. But now he became afraid. And also, he became evil. The word afraid there means I had become evil. I had become wicked. And I am naked. I am unclothed. I am wicked. I am unclothed. I am naked. I became naked. So I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman. Ha-isha. And the woman, boy, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate it. Was that a legitimate excuse? No. This is what you call blame shifting in modern psychology. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elam, said to the Isha, Ha-isha, what is this that you have done? And she said, we nahashishi ani. And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Literally, I kept on eating. They kept on eating. They completely defoliated that tree. And Jehovah Elohim said to the serpent, now he's talking to Nahash. Say Nahash. Nahash is a deceiving one. All right? The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed you are more than all the cattle. Now this was the king of all the beasts right here. The serpent was. The serpent was the king of the beasts. He was the most beautiful. And he walked on all fours, but now he's going to be diminutive. He's going to be brought down. Cursed you are more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall walk, and in the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put active hatred between you and the woman. For you and the woman. Now let's see how that's going to happen. And between your seed and her seed. Who's your seed there? Huh?
Jehovah?
No, who's her seed?
Well,
your seed. Who's her? Your seed. He's talking to who? Who's speaking? Jehovah God speaking. Who's he speaking to? The serpent. The serpent. All right, now, I'm going to put active hatred between your seed. Who's that? The Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is literally going to be a child of Satan. Satan is going to come into this world and he's going to cover a woman. And he's going to impregnate her with his seed. And this is where we get that right here. In the New Testament, we talk about the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists. But there shall be one Antichrist, which will be half angel and half man. He'll be like a Nephilim of old. A powerful, brilliant, supernatural man. Okay? A supernatural man. Goliath was one of those, wasn't he? Goliath was a Nephilim. He's half angel and half mankind. He had supernatural powers. How many brothers did Goliath have that they had to do away with? There were five of them all together. Okay? One of them almost killed David. When David took five stones, why did he take five stones? Five's the number of grace in the Bible, but why did he take five stones when he went out there against Goliath? All of his brothers were there. He's going to kill all of them. He's going to kill them all. Little things in Scripture are very beautiful. He's going to kill all of Goliath's family. They were with the Philistines. What does Philistine mean? Philistine. Philistine. What does that mean?
Uncivilized.
Cantankerous. Warrior. Greedy. Materialistic. That's what all the word Philistine means. It's quite a descriptive. Because you have done this, cursed you are than all the more the cattle. Now, we find out over here in the millennial reign, all the curse is taken off all the animals. They don't eat each other anymore. They're just like they were before the flood. They go back. They're all tame. They're all friends with each other. They're all companions. And over here, all the animals are all companions again, except what has happened here, that who retains the curse? The snake. Ha-Nahash. The snake. He has to walk on his belly still. Over here. Still. He's still cursed. He's carrying that curse. because the reptile family, the snake, loaned his body to Lucifer willingly. We find in scriptures that even animals have volition. You see that. One place we saw it very plainly was in the book of what? Jonah, where God provided and protected the animals in Nineveh. Alright. And what about those pigs down there by the Sea of Galilee? Did they have volition? That man running around with 2,000 demons in him, when those 2,000 demons want those pigs, what those pigs decide to do? Drown themselves. They didn't want to live with it. They had better sense than the man did, didn't they? Yeah. Between your seed, the Antichrist, and her seed, Jesus Christ. Now, if they get the promise of the Messiah here, this is the Messiah. And he shall bruise you on the head. He will kill you, your seed. And you shall bruise him on the heel. You will cripple him. You're going to hurt him. And then, of course, he curses the woman in childbirth. She's going to have pain in childbirth. How many you women all have babies? No? Yes? No? When you have a baby, it's painful. I can assure you, women didn't have to. It didn't have to be painful for a woman to have a child. But it will be here. How many children can a woman have, by the way? Medically, how many children can a woman have? 1,000. 1,000 children. A woman can have 1,000 children medically. She's capable of having 1,000 children. Eve probably had 1,000 children. Okay? All of them had 1,000, and they were multiple births. But she had pain in every one of them. She didn't have to. All right? Over here in the millennium, women are going to have 1,000 children again. Over here. The woman's capable of having 1,000 children. All right. And Adam, the ground got cursed because of you. And thorns and thistles that shall grow. And in the sweat of your nostrils, going down your sweat running down off your nose, you shall eat your food from now on. Number 20. And the woman called his name, or the man called his woman, or his wife, Eve. This is where he changes her name from Isha to Hava or Eva. Okay? She gets a new name. What does that new name mean? The mother of all living. Why didn't he call her the mother of all dying? Because they're all going to die. All her children are going to die except for Enoch and Elijah. Okay? Which are a type of what? The rapture. Okay? He called her the mother of all living because they look forward to the Messiah. Genesis 3:15. Now, go on down to Genesis 4 and 1. So let's look at it. Genesis 4 and 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve. And she caught together, is what it literally says. She caught together. She caught the sperm and she held on to it. She held on to the sperm. And she gave birth to Cain. And she said, literally now in Hebrew, I have gotten, that's what Cain's name means, I have gotten a child, literally, but it doesn't say the child, does it? I have gotten what? I have gotten Jehovah. That's what she literally said. I have gotten et Jehovah. I have the Messiah. The Messiah is here. I have Adonai. The Hebrew will say, the Jews will say Adonai. She thought she had the child. But what happened? That child was wicked like they were. He became wicked like they were. And that child murdered his brother violently in the what stem?
PL
stem. Slashing and killing. That's what he did. Let's go back now. And Moses went out to meet his wife's father, and he bowed down, and he kept on bowing down, and he kept on kissing. And they borrowed, or they asked, each man to his friend, to their li shalom, their peace and safety. All right? Each of them was greeting each other, and they were kissing each other, and they were wishing them well. wishing them well. Shalom. What does shalom mean? Shalom. What does it literally mean?
Agreement of peace.
It means agreement. You can't have peace with unless you have an agreement. If we're going to have peace with God, we have to have an agreement with God. We have to agree that the Messiah is our Savior. Okay? That's how we have peace. Israel and the Middle East will never have peace in our time. It's not going to happen. The only way they're ever going to have peace is when the Lord Himself comes back and gives them peace. They're going to build a temple over there for the Antichrist. They got everything ready for it right now. They got all of the clothes, they've got all of the vessels and everything for that temple all built, and that's the Antichrist temple. And this Antichrist will be the seed of Satan from Genesis 3:15. And that Antichrist is going to do war with the gods, the Son. And that's what we call the book of Revelation over here, that great tribulation period, that's when it takes place. That's when the ultimate fulfillment of Satan's desires and God's power and His redemption takes place. And they came in to the tent. Ha-Haleah. The tent. The tent. The dwelling. 18 and verse 8 now. 18 and verse 8. Vayasaper Moshe La-Chotino Et kol asher asa hadavar lifero yule mitzrayim al hodat Yisrael et kol hatila asher mitzatam Badarek Vayat Silim Hadavar. And he retold. Look at that word. Vayasaper. And he retold Moses, his wife's father, all which he had done Jehovah. Now, look at that word. What Jehovah had done to Pharaoh. Now, Jehovah did it. And what did they use? What was the power element that they used to do this? The rod of God. The rod belonging to God. Now this rod, again, where did the rod come from? This was Aaron's rod. It was Moses' rod. But it was Adam's rod. And where did Adam give it? Get it? But Jehovah Elohim gave it to him. And the legend in the book of Jasher says that God held this stick, this rod in his hand that has a, what kind of stone in the top of it? A sapphire stone at the top of it. And that's when he created the heavens and the earth, he held that in his hand. And it's an almond rod with a sapphire stone in the top of it. The sword and the stone, you've heard this before. The sword and the stone. That was called what? The sword and the stone. Excalibur. Okay, the sword and stone. That story was that this guy stuck a sword in a stone and nobody could pull it out until the rightful owner came. That story came from this rod of God. Jethro took that rod out of Egypt. Joseph had it, and he took it out of Egypt. He got possession of it, and he took it out in his garden in Midian and stuck it in the garden, and nobody could pull it out. He said, "When the man that belongs to that staff comes, he will be able to pull it out." And when Moses went out there, he just pulled it out. And that was the authority of Jehovah God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And when he threw that rod down the first time, what did it become? Not in Pharaoh's palace. What did it become the first time? Scared Moses. What did it become? A snake. A serpent. A nahash. When he took that rod into Pharaoh's palace and he threw it down, what did it become? A dragon. A leviathan. It did not become a snake. It did not become a serpent. It became a leviathan, a great dragon. When Jannes and Jambres threw their stones down, their rods down, they had rods of authority from who? Who was their authority from? Satan. The power of demonic powers. They threw their rods down and they became leviathans or dragons also. Tanin is that word. It's different. Hebrew really sheds a lot of light on scriptures. I guarantee. And they became dragons, and now we have the war of the Leviathans. The Leviathan, most in the history, they believe that the Leviathan was a mythical creature, a supernatural creature in the ocean. It was a sea serpent type dragon, a big sea dragon. And they believe that's what caused all the storms and sea and everything else, and when they threw it down. Now we have God's Leviathan fighting with Satan's Leviathan. And what did God's Leviathan do? Ate him. Ate them down. Kadeestil. Ate them down. All right. All the things he had done, Jehovah, to Pharaoh. Le Pharaoh. Le, that is a preposition. To Pharaoh. All right. What case is that in, brother? To Pharaoh. What case is that in? That's a dative. Singular. Masculine. What does Pharaoh mean? You remember, young lady, what does that Pharaoh mean? Pharaoh. What does Pharaoh mean? How about you? The man that lives in the big house. That's what Pharaoh means. The man that lives in the big house. And to Egypt, Mitzrayim. Here we have Yule Mitzrayim. We have you there, which is a conjunction. Comes a while. And then Lamet, which is a preposition. All right. And then we have Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Yule Mitzrayim. All right. And to Mitzrayim. We got a conjunction, that's and, page 253. We've got a preposition there, page 515. And then we've got Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim mean? And this is in dative singular. All right, again, dative singular. Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim? What does Egypt mean, Pamela? A land of red mud and canal banks, because it was an irrigated land. That's how they had food, and nobody else had it, because they irrigated their land. All of the rest of it was dry land farming. Okay? Unto the calls. Odot. Odot. Actually, it's a DTH there, by the way. It's not a strong T. It's a TH on the end. Odot. Because it doesn't have a dogish in the middle of that word to say it's a hard one, does it? How many T's are there in Hebrew?
Three.
All right. Yisrael, Yisrael, Yisrael. Sarah, your name is in that. Yisrael, Yisrael. What does Yisrael mean? What three roots do we have in Yisrael? We have three roots. We have man, we have God, and what do we have? Sarah, Ashtare, to wrestle or to fight. The man who wrestles with God. That was Jacob. What did Jacob mean? To follow the heel, or to grab the heel. Et, sign of the direct objects, and call means all. All the weariness, which, all the wearing down. How many of you ever been wore out? I bet you when you were in Vietnam, when you're flying them helicopters out there and shooting all those things off, when you got home, you were wore out, weren't you? Wore out. Worn down to the nub. I'd go out there and put in. One time I worked 36 hours straight in the oil fields. Just going, going, going. I got back to Bakersfield. My wife had run off and left me, took everything in the house. I didn't even know she was gone. She ran off and left me, took everything in the house. There was nothing, no furniture, nothing. I had a telephone, so I called Bill Lees. I'd been working for 36 hours. I'd been up before that 36 hours. I worked 36, 3 12-hour shifts in a row. Then I had to drive to Bakersfield. And I was starving when I got home, and I got home, and there's nobody there and no food or anything. So I called Bill Lees, and I said, send me two chef specialties of the house. And I said, now I'm really tired. I'm going to lay down by the door, and the door's not locked. I'm going to lay down by the door, and I said, I might fall asleep. And this was 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I got there. And I said, wake me up. Just push the door open. And I said, I'll be there and I'll pay you and get the food because I'm hungry. You know, you only get... I was there 3 12-hour shifts. I didn't have any food, but those other 2 12-hours, the other 24 hours. The first one I had lunch, but the next one I didn't have any food. Water. And I was hungry. I was 6'2" and weighed 240 then. And that requires a lot of energy. Now I'm all shrunk up and shriveled up to nothing. mummified. I called Bill Lees and told them to wake me up, bang on that door real loud, and I instantly went into a coma. That's 3 o'clock now. I woke up, looked at my watch, and it was 6 o'clock. They said they'd be there in 30 minutes. I didn't live very far from Bill Lee. Wasn't very far, so I got on the phone, and I was hungry. Man, I was hungry. My stomach was hurting. I called him on the phone. I said, it's 6 o'clock, and I said, I called you at 3 o'clock, and I said, I don't have any food yet. This was like right now. This was like 50 years ago almost. And they said, we don't have an order for you. And I said, what do you mean you don't have an order? Is this Billy's? They said, yeah, this is Billy's. I said, well, I called an order in at 3 o'clock, and you said it'd be here within an hour, a half hour or so. And I said, it's 6 o'clock. They said, sir, we don't have an order. I said, look real good. You know, I live on Citrus Avenue, all kinds of, my name's Phillips and all this stuff. They looked at me. He said, Mr. Phillips, we delivered that yesterday. Yesterday. I said, what do you mean yesterday? They said, we delivered your food yesterday and nobody came to the door. I had slept more than 24 hours. Laying there, passed out. I was so tired. Well, they brought my food out. They brought the food out and I ate it. And recovered. All right. And she had found them in the way, and he rescued them or snatched them away, Jehovah. All right. Let's go back and read these things. Do you have your Amplified Bible today? You do? You want to come up here and read that from 16 to. Where we start? 17, 18, 4 to 8. All right, 18, 4 through 8. 18, 4 through 8.
And the name of the other was Eleazar, meaning God is help. For the God of my father, said Moses, was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with Moses' son and his wife into the wilderness, where he was encamped at the Mount of God, Horeb, or Sinai. And he said in a message to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am come to you and your wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed in homage and kissed him, and each asked the other of his welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the hardships that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord had delivered them.
All right. Lord, she had delivered them. Well, who is this? Who is this? This she had delivered them. How about the Shekinah? Shekinah is the feminine side of God, the deliverer. And the nurturer. El Shaddai is the all-powerful one. El Shaddai, what does Shad mean in Hebrew? A woman's breast. Not only is he the all-powerful one, but he is the nurturer and the nourishing one. How about Sinai? What does Sinai mean? Sinai. 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 What's Sinai mean? Come on, girls and boys. This is a test. As you know, they used to want me to give tests in my classes in the seminary. I said, I don't need to. I know what every person knows, because I stay after them all the time. What does Sinai mean? Brother Abe, you remember what Sinai means? How about there, Pamela? Nobody knows what Sinai means? Sinai means the briar patch. Remember that? The briar patch. The place, the thorny place. What kind of a thorn bush did Moses see burning? A blackberry bush. He saw a blackberry bush burning. That's what it says in Hebrew, a blackberry bush. Blackberry bush. You know, the Hebrew can give you a whole lot of hints. Now, up on Mount Sinai, St. Catherine Sinai, guess what it's known for? Blackberry and raspberry bushes all over it. Okay? That's what it's known for. And they say that they have the very bush up there by St. Catherine. That's where they have a lot of the old scriptures. Now, there's like 26 or 28 Mount Sinai's that they figured out, you know. But really, that is the traditional site. It may be a Greek Orthodox or whatever you want to call it up there. We may not agree with their theology or anything else, but probably that's the most logical place where it is. And they say that they have a sprout from the original blackberry, raspberry, wild raspberry bush that Moses saw burning. And it didn't burn up either. It just kept on burning. All right. Did you learn something tonight, boys and girls? Just a little bit? You have any questions? Young lady, you have a question?
Yeah, I do.
It is so good having you and your husband in the class.
Sorry, really. You have a common Catholic.
That's all right. How about Roger? Pamela. Sarah, do you have a question? Something you just wanted to ask all your life and you didn't have anybody to ask it. Brother Abe, you got a question I can't answer? Yes. Yes. Two Edens. Yes.
One is a throne room?
Both of them are throne rooms. Both of them are throne rooms.
The Garden of Eden was also a
throne room. Yes. That's where Adam was going to rule the universe and the earth.
And then the other one
was where Lucifer was, where Hillel was, that he ruled the universe over the material creation of God.
And I read to that
Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back there. That's a good idea. Let's go back and see which one it's in. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. All right, Isaiah 14. Let's read this real quick, both of them. We can do that. We got a few moments. Okay. Isaiah 14 and verse 10. And they will respond to you, even as you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and your music and your harps have been brought down to Sheol. That's the place to ask about that, by the way, isn't it? That's the place of the Lord of spirits. And Sheol is what in Hebrew, in Greek?
Hades.
Okay? Maggots have spread your out as your bed beneath you, and worms your covering. How you are fallen, from heaven, O Hillel, is what it literally says. And in King James, I think it says, O Lucifer, doesn't it? O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth. You have been you who have weakened the nations. How much of the economy of God did Lucifer take with him? One third of the angels and one third of the spirit forces. Yep. All right. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. That tells you where heaven is. That's where they abode. That's where heaven is. The north is part of the earth and go straight up. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be make myself like the Most High. El Elyon. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down the Sheol to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and will ponder, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble and shook the kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness? Genesis 1 and 2. Who overthrew the beautiful places. All right, now let's go to Ezekiel 28. This is the dual prophecy, by the way, and Ezekiel 28 is the dual prophecy. Again, the word of the Lord came, verse number 11, to me saying, Son of man, take up your lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus saith Jehovah Elohim, you had the seal of perfection. When God created Hillel, he was perfect, wasn't he? Perfect. You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in what? Where?
Eden.
The first Eden. This is the first Eden. The first Eden. You were in Eden, the garden of God. This is the throne room of Hillel. And this is also the throne room of Adam. Because Adam replaced Hillel. And through Adam, God would redeem the whole universe because he would become a son of Adam, or son of the woman, actually. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold of the workmanship of your settings and your sockets was in you. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub. He's also a cherub. What is a cherub? Lucifer has what? Wings. Cherubs have wings. There are different orders of angels, aren't they? The teraphim, the seraphim, and cherubs. Okay? I placed you there. You were in the holy government or mountain of God. You walked amidst the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until what? Unrighteousness became found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I will cast you down as profane. From the mountain of God, I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. This is not talking about the king of Tyre, by the way. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you down to the ground. I put you before the kings that they may see you. And that's what's going to happen right over here. And it's going to happen again right here at the end. Okay? That answer your question?
Yeah.
All right. And where's the other Eden? The one that God prepared, the garden. The garden. It was a paradise. What does the word paradise mean? The word paradise came from what language?
Persian.
Goes into what language? Hebrew. Goes into what language? Greek. Goes into what next language? English. And it is never translated, which means guarded pleasure park. Who was supposed to guard the pleasure park in Lucifer's time? Lucifer was a guardian of the material creation. God became a rebel. Then God placed Adam in his paradise, in his second Eden, and he rebelled against God. But God made provision for his redemption through his seed, the seed of the woman. So we went from 18:4 through 8. Is that what we did tonight? Do you have any questions? Did we open up another can, another window? Another door? A little bit? Young lady, did you learn anything tonight? All right. How about you, Pamela? Did you learn something tonight? Did you remember something, Roger? How about that, young lady? Did you get something tonight? All right. Sharon. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Go out and do something eternal. Young man, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer? Right up here.
Lord God, we just thank you so much for another evening of learning your word, and we just thank you so much for Dr. Phillips sharing that with us. And just thank you so much for blessing him in a way that most people don't understand the Bible. We just thank you so much for him. We thank you so much for each one of us, and that we may learn your word and provide answers to non-believers out there and also believers to make your word more challenging and interesting. That we could just keep on digging into your word and learning more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.